You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
God, I want to take a shit so bad.
I just took my second.
Yeah?
Eater.
You smoke it with your mouth?
Yeah.
And it helps you shit?
Every time.
By smoking it with your mouth.
When I smoke hookah the next day.
Really?
Yeah, everything is loose.
Cleans it all out.
They and it's not, but it's not diarrhea. It's not what Chris likes. It's like solid pieces, but it comes out like broken up.
That's really gross. But in France, I think, don't they call it the three C's? It's like cigarettes, coffee, crap.
Also,
isn't that a thing?
Who are you to say that's really gross?
I think they pronounce it
crepes. It might be crepes.
You to say really gross. You talk about ripping ass.
Yeah.
You guys are the ones who do it on airplanes. Like, well, how am I the gross one for just describing, like, calling a spade, saying what it is?
Because there's decorum, right? There's a way to talk about these things in civilized society.
Did the microphone pick up what just happened in my stomach right now? I'm internalizing everything, and that goes for my farts. But
I love a good crepe, man. Chris, you love a good crepe?
Chris, you like a good
bananas crepe? Chocolate? Oh, so good.
Love a good crepe.
Yeah.
You like savory crepe or sweet?
Is it crepe? Crepe?
Crepe.
It's crepe?
Crepe.
Crepe.
It's tomato,
crepe.
Tomato.
Crepe.
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 Crepe. No.
Crepe. Of course, there he is.
At dinner we had the other night, had a nice dessert crepe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still thinking about that.
What was that? It was like a hot pocket of Nutella and caramel.
Yeah.
Caramel. Dulce de leche.
It was dulce. Do you say caramel or caramel?
Caramel.
I like to say it like a Southern Dixiecrat
lawyer. Caramel.
Your Honor, may I present Exhibit A, caramel, here in Louisville, Kentucky.
Now what? You gotta.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, jury.
Jury.
Amin had all sorts of observations about the meetings or Meadowlark. We'll get to those in a second. We will get to his Black in My Day. He's got one of those.
Wow.
Very exciting. Chris Cody has a couple of listeners who are again going at it. Chris, how do you feel about the two listeners who are challenging each other on the music front, making songs about the show?
They're bringing it strong. It's two rap songs. Andrew Streeter does one, but the first one we're going to play is Rage Against Twitter, and he does a parody about a meme that is a J. Cole song.
Nothing new under the sun. Dan Le Batard is rotund. He weighs a couple of tons. One wing with no drums. He thought that I worked for the hotel and gave me his order for lunch. Confusing me, now he's calling me friend. He digging me, making content for fun. I was the first one to jump. Call me first matey. Twins call me daddy. Like Stu got his babies. They demand a turkey and dad's got the gravy. I've been on the craziest wave. If I'm on a stage, I am as my minimum wage. This ain't negotiation behave. So Skipper should talk to my agent by end of the day. Y'all pray for the show's pastor. Content brings the show laughter. DMX, Raw Dog fashion. Solve it all, metal arc snatch.
I woke up for some money. Hey, Lou. Too many ops here. Tell me who you with. Hey.
Quiet lips over my sums. I move in silence cause haters be clocking my funds. They should keep eye on they shit cause info you will not get none. Haters be judging my move, but please tell me what have you done. On weekends I'm course I with J. Cole for fun. Pistol grips get the squeezing. Wish a nigga would like Liam Neeson.
No. No, that's going too far. No, there has to be parody. There just has to be.
Left the mouth for one reason. Loyalty over treason. Aaron Fox, come and see me. Put some respect on my name. Sudan, New York City, I claim. I try to stay in my lane. Take metric advance and put some Amin on them things. I'm Sith Lord till the wheels fall. Mark from Red is probably pissed off. Who'd have thought I made it this far? Web shooting, give bleep them all.
Woke up for some
file.
How do you feel about that? I mean, you've been serenaded. Congratulations.
I won't lie. When they said, because I hadn't heard until right now, when I heard, oh, he did a J. Cole parody song about Amin, I was like, okay, let me see how corny this shit's going to be. That was awesome. Man, that was legitimately good, man.
You're so happy,
oh,
man.
My God.
Well, you know what's about to happen now, Dan? Given how we order things, you know I'm coming with some straight flames right now.
Oh.
All right, but hold on flames. A second. Before you get to that, Amin doesn't think we're pirates anymore.
Mm-mm. We've gone legitimate. And when pirates go legitimate, they become privateers. Mm-hmm. You're still doing piratey things, but it's now you're working for legitimate business. You're a privateer.
We've advanced.
We've advanced.
We just found the booty.
Yeah, well, no, we did. But
do pirates retire after they find the booty?
Once a pirate, always a pirate, Mike.
Until you become a privateer.
Do they do what Bob does, which is just take a month off to go paint a cabin in Buffalo?
Oh, Bob.
We're losing our engineer, Bob. He was going to be on the cover of Forbes magazine.
He's holding the place together.
We took him out of retirement, and now he's going to Buffalo. He's got something better to do in Buffalo for a month. We don't know what we're going to do this month. There's a very real chance you guys won't get us anymore. We'll come in here. We'll try to do things, and it won't come out because we've been held up by a single guy, and now Amin says we're legitimate and we're privateers because one engineer who's now leaving for retirement in Buffalo has held the whole thing up.
He was wearing legitimately a Hawaiian shirt on his last day before a month-long vacation. Bob.
Let's hear this other song. So you're saying this other one. Who do we have to give credit on this second song?
Andrew Streeter.
Oh, he's usually pretty good.
A goat amongst songsters on this show. He's a Suey Award winner, and this one's fantastic. I can't lie.
Do you think anything that you've said for the last 4 minutes is interesting?
I mean, feel free to do the show, guys.
Have you ever done radio before, Billy? Like, honest to God.
I mean, I would think that I'm not getting a lot
Just
of
Just get out of here. Never mind.
Billy, I've had quite enough of your eccentricities. No one here's equipped to handle your brand of neuroses. When you're talking way too much and you're causing a commotion, yeah. $2 fine, now go walk in the ocean, ay. Chris, I'm not sure what you were just trying to do. Supposed to stay in your lane, making one word out of two. When you're leaking confidence like you're stuck in slow motion, yeah. $2 fine, now go walk in the ocean. So much work to do. Stu's like, yeah, that's true. Get it done by COB. You can do all the work for free. 90-10 split my way. Can't trust a word I say. About to make Dan go crazy. Care about you, don't bet against Brady. Let me thought, Dan said.
Cloud.
Two got his headphones way too loud. Today he will not be around because his brother came to town. Coming up with new ways to lie. Hey, yo, man, it's chicken time. Moderna, Dano, what's my line? Super Bowl week, my mom just died. Let's just keep this straight for a second. Whittingham doesn't think that your last name is pronounced the way you say it is. Everything he says is highfalutin, making Pablo seem tame by comparison.
Here's the thing.
It's the stat of the day, long version only. Why is everything you say a sports cliche? Subscribe and rate, Mystery Crate. Scallywag's gonna walk the plate. Greg doesn't have a back in my day.
Sorry, everybody.
Stu is reeling off another 700 nicknames. GMO, put it on the poll. You don't get the show. You just want to troll. You want more of this and less than that. And Dan is fat. You better check your entitlement.
Okay.
Why y'all gotta be so mean? Hiding behind your screens. Internet trolls trying to make a scene. Shooting your web just like a meme. Reddit posters, you can pretty much all miss me. With your moaning and complaining about a show you get for free. Y'all just being giant babies trying to stir up a commotion. Yeah, you fools can kick rocks and walk right into the ocean. Billy, I've had quite enough of your eccentricities. No one here's equipped to handle your brand of neuroses. When you're talking way too much and you're causing a commotion. Yeah, $2 fine, now go walk in the ocean.
Jesus. I mean, good God.
Incredible.
Amin had some thoughts on Whittingham at the Metal Arc meetings as well yesterday. He noticed a whole lot of things.
We all did. Some of them are just in voices.
Thank you. Thank you, Sugat.
Yeah. Internalizing a lot from that day. Not just lunch.
So the when we walked in, Dan wasn't there. Dan didn't get there until after kind of we'd sat down.
But power
when
move.
When we walked in, the original setup was like a long table, like a banquet table. And Skipper walks in and he says, well, this won't do. And so we have to rearrange them. And so him and Lindsay and a couple other people start picking up tables and moving them. Meanwhile, the rest of us are all standing kind of off to the side saying to ourselves, should we do something? Should we go and help? So I go to Chris Cody and I say, Cody, this is your chance, man, to make a good impression. And he says, that kiss ass is already doing it. Look, Whittingham is right there picking up tables at Skipper.
Of course he is. I mean, this guy, he's going to be running the company in a week.
I mean, the most inconsiderate thing. There's like three people moving tables and just an army of people with their arms
so
folded stood up to the side.
It is so
like, what is
show.
Wrong with you people?
And you're the shit. And you're the shit for helping
I'm
the
kiss 60, ass.
The 65-year-old CEO as Chris Cody eats muffins and Amin starts his own podcast. We're talking to himself about Star Wars, pulls out a computer and a
I expect this to be done for me. I'm standing here with my arms folded.
My favorite part was yesterday, I'm with at dinner, and we're talking about how the last couple of days are going. And he said, you know what really impressed me? I said, what? He said, when I saw Skipper roll up his sleeves and move the tables, like I said, that's when I knew this guy isn't afraid to get his hands dirty. I said, why didn't you go help him then? Just stood by and was impressed by the whole thing.
One co-founder was literally rolling up his sleeves and the other one tucked his arms into his own shirt because he was cold.
So cold, man. Good God,
was
it cold.
It was so cold.
Jessica was wearing a napkin. Her and Billy were wearing napkins trying to get warmer.
That is true. That I put a napkin on my lap because I was so cold.
I saw everybody was freezing.
By the way, also, the night of the dinner, I'm not going to say who, but I'm just going to say there were many voices that remarked about the attire worn that day by various individuals.
We're talking about the three-piece suit Woody wore?
Many individuals? Name them, Amin.
We got to come up with music for Whittingham. Because people want some highfalutin attached to Whittingham. We have to hit him across the face with it. Amin also objected to my way of eating mints for some reason.
So, you know how they had a bowl of mints right there? So, Dan, when we came back from the break, goes and reaches the bowl, grabs one, walks to his seat right next to me. And then literally within moments, I hear like this crunching, like Jurassic Park.
Biting mints? You don't suck
you
on a mint?
You chew mints?
He just went to town. And so I asked the question, how long do you suck on the mint before you say enough? And you just start to gnaw down on it.
How many licks of the Tootsie Roll Pop? It's the same kind of deal. But you're a barbarian. If
it wasn't that fast, but it was probably faster than he would have liked based on his judgment.
But if you want the full effect of the mint, you have to let it dissolve into your mouth.
Yeah, just hungry? Were you seeking nutrition from the mint? And this is just sustenance? Was that it?
Whenever there are calories anywhere around, I just want to consume them as quickly as possible to make room for more calories.
There was definitely no dissolution going on.
It wasn't a lot. I've got to admit that.
And
it wasn't a lot of time that went by.
It was loud, too. I mean, I was startled. I just hear the crunching. I was like, Jesus, what's that?
Like a dinosaur? Put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Are you a monster? If you, what's the amount of time that you want to put on this poll? If you
I can see how it's jarring because you expect like a good minute of silence after someone puts a mint in their mouth.
Right.
You know?
Right. No
put
talking
that on the
anything.
Poll then, Guillermo. Do you expect a good minute of silence once someone puts a mint in their mouth? It sounds like Amin spent all of this time with Metalark Media not being paid and just judging everybody, just sitting around making assessments on others to make them feel inferior to the things that he does well.
Amin, I left. I literally said check please after a conversation last night with Amin.
I said
check please because he pissed me off so much I just had to leave the premises. We've been spitballing ideas and talking about ideas for Amin, and I'm like, oh, in the past, I was just rattling off things that we've done with Amin, and I'm like, oh, we had this Basketball's Most Brilliant Minds thing during the NBA Finals that went really well. And Amin just sort of nods along silently in these meetings. Like, we've talked about it several times over the last few days. Last night, he's like, so this is a new concept? What is this? And I was just very confused by it. He has no recollection of us doing three episodes of Basketball's Most Brilliant Minds. Zero. I thought he was playing it. I was like, did I make it up in my mind? I searched it on Twitter. I'm like, we did three editions. I was like, Izzy, do you remember this? Yes. Zach, do you remember this? George, like, everyone thought they went very well. So much so they were like, hey, there might be something on here. Amin, zero recollection of even recording these hour-long podcasts.
Pfizer.
Attaboy.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
So the napkin on the lap was because it was cold, huh? I saw it and frozen. I thought, I guess we're doing the formal thing where we put napkins on our laps if we're going to eat pieces of fruit.
I was just wetting him, Bill.
No. Stugatz, when you showed up to dinner and you were with Whittingham, and Whittingham was wearing like this very nice tailored suit, like hair gelled, everything, fancy glasses on.
Yeah.
And Stugatz shows up and he's in like a, he's in a button down and pants, and he's like, I wore my best Grateful Dead hat. It's my nicest one. It's my nicest hat.
He didn't have pants. He had jeans.
I did have jeans. Yeah. I had sneakers.
Billy's of the opinion that jeans are overrated. It's not an opinion I've heard a whole bunch from a lot of people, but Billy's been doing a lot of overrated, underrated lately, and jeans is, why are jeans overrated?
Well, I'm a little embarrassed by my ally on this because this stems from a conversation that I had with Chris Whittingham about jeans. Okay. And we came to the conclusion together that jeans are overrated. And it was based on, yeah, sure, gives off a cash vibe, right? But very hot and uncomfortable compared to like chino pants or slacks, for example, right? But everybody, when they want to be casual, they say, you know what? I'm going to put on a pair of jeans. Not that comfortable.
It's not because of comfort. It's because they don't wrinkle. That's why people wear jeans. You wear chino pants or slacks or khakis, you now you got iron. Jeans, just grab them, put them on. Let's go.
Are jeans overrated?
No. Functional.
Yeah.
Properly rated.
All right.
It's too hot down here, though. You guys aren't coming from this. With
well,
like
down here, you're right, Bill. Down then, here, I think he's.
But then you don't wear pants at all, then. You wear shorts.
Yeah, but I can't wear shorts if I'm going to talk to Skip.
I don't understand how people wear pants at all down here. Like in the studio the other day, I was the only person wearing shorts. I get that it's a male versus female. It's kind of a different thing. I think like shorts are maybe more frowned upon in the workplace for men. I don't really know. Never worked in an office like this / studio. But I just thought it was interesting. Like I could not fathom walking down the street in Miami wearing pants.
You don't feel the sweet relief after having worn jeans all day of taking the jeans off when you get home, where it's like, mm-hmm. My legs have been constricted by this denim. I'm going to free them. I'm going to release them to breathe as they should.
Are you pants off right when you walk in the door?
Yeah, yeah. It's among the first things I do, yeah.
Put it on the poll at Levitard wow. Show. Are you pants off as soon as you walk in the door?
I always imagine you just make yourself a supper first and you call it supper.
I have them sleeping in pants.
And you put out the fancy china.
Candle?
Yeah, the candle. Kind of like Macaulay Culkin right before he like smites all the wet bandits. Making
no.
himself mac
he
and cheese.
He has like the Mr. Rogers whole thing that he does, I would imagine.
Jack in the closet.
Yeah. That's amazing. That he breaks the fourth wall when he walks into his apartment. And takes off his loafers and he just describes his day. What did I like? Well, the sun was out.
He doesn't take off his loafers. He switches to a different pair
yeah,
of shoes.
Exactly. A more comfortable pair of loafers.
He has dinner slippers. He definitely has dinner slippers.
Put it on the poll, please. Does Whittingham have dinner slippers? And also put on the poll, Billy, do you feel sweet relief when you take your pants off after coming home?
You know you do, Dan.
Oh, yeah. I'm not disputing it. I, of course, do. But how often do you see me in pants anywhere? I've gone 12 months without wearing pants. Mike just had the other day. He's playing a hot new game. I imagine that's popular throughout the pandemic. Let's see if these pants fit now.
Oh, God. Very few dubs. Dangerous game.
Oh, the most dangerous of games.
It's like a win is considered, I can wear these pants, just no belt anymore, yeah. Which was like a clean dub. Yeah. I'm your host and perpetual loser, Mike Ryan.
Why does Billy feel the need to couch his argument with, I don't like my ally winning him?
Yeah, you've been taking a lot of L's lately, so I didn't want to
it's a bizarre
come
thing.
In strong.
He's yeah. like the kindest soul I oh, know, and all, everyone hates him.
And the thing is, he so just wants to help everybody. So he's not actually brown-nosing when he's helping Skipper with a table, but that he just wants to help everyone wherever he can help.
Well, that's the play, though. That's what you have to believe, Dan. You're right. The one in charge.
Last night, Whittingham, I said that I wanted to like go on a little driving tour of Miami, figure out where I'm going to live when I eventually move down here. Whittingham was offered to pick me up from my hotel, drove me around all of Miami Beach. He took me to Edgewater. He took me to Brickell. And he was like a real estate broker. He was pointing out specific buildings, naming the addresses, telling me
you couldn't have a better person helping you with this.
Amenities were in each building, like the average price point.
How is he
like,
so good at everything?
Yes, I got you. We'll go around today.
Yeah, no, I can think of several people I'd prefer showing me around Miami because I imagine he's just taking you to retirement communities. Like, how was Boca when you toured it? I imagine he's got one of those microphones that plugs directly into like a speaker box and he's just like, on your right, were you on an actual duck boat?
It was unbelievable. It was on. I mean, like, I probably just saved a bunch of money, right? Like, I don't need a
you
broker
could not
now. I got
have,
Witty.
You could not have it be more thorough. You could not have it be more expert. You could also not have it without being a tour that includes where he buys his dinner or supper slippers.
I really want to hear Whittingham deliver as a tour guide. I really do, because it would be fantastic. And Dan, I'm guessing he could do it in any city, even cities he has not been to yet. Seriously.
On your left. The famed Clevelander Hotel, home of the Dan yes. Levitard Show with Stu Gatz. On your right, a meth head.
On your right, you'll see the American Airlines Arena tonight. They host the Dallas Mavericks. You'll find parking about three blocks down at
this
the Bayside parking garage.
This actually happened, though. Like, we drove past American Airlines Arena, and he was like, this is where the Heat play. And I was like, I gathered that by all the Heat fans walking into the stadium wearing Heat jerseys, Woody. Thank you.
He has the parking info.
Can I ask Juju a question? Did Juju end up going to the Heat game yesterday? Because we were trying to come up with a strategy to get Juju some upgraded tickets by maybe underhanded means.
I ended up at a dive bar with Mike.
Oh, man. Not exactly what we were working on. We were trying to get Juju courtside seats by inviting Dan to the game and telling him that he had tickets in the 400 level, which Dan would then say, no, that's not going to work, and then get him better seats.
Where'd you guys end up?
Oh, Las Rosas. Across the street from this amazing fritanga that we once went to, where basically Cheech Marin from Dusk Till Dawn was standing outside of one night. But it was the most random thing, and there were like cockroaches crawling on the counter. But we had the most amazing Chicharrón de Pollo there. It was like a pimp and an 80-year-old man dancing with like two 20-year-old hookers for sure. It was just the most bizarre night. This was when we still had the curfew going on. And it was surreal. And we walked past it, and it looked like it had been closed for decades. And we're trying to figure out, like, were we in The Shining?
So the funny thing about this is we had a conversation about that place yesterday afternoon. And me and Mike were joking that because it was, like, the bar from Dusk Till Dawn, that it would be funny if we went by it now and it's, like, bombed out and depleted and it looked like it's been vacant for years. And when we go to the city records office and ask, hey, what happened to this place? That place burned down 50 years ago. And we like, oh, it's like a horror movie. Because here's the thing. It doesn't show up on Google Maps.
No.
It doesn't show up on Yelp. It doesn't exist when you try to look it up. So I'm going to go meet Mike at Las Rosas, which is right across the street from this place. And I'm riding with my buddy in the car, in the Uber. And I look at the place. And sure enough, it looks like it's been abandoned for years. And I start freaking out. My buddy looks at me and goes, what's wrong? I was like, hey, it came true. It came, this is real. I walked in and I said, Mike, what happened? He said, I don't know.
It was odd that when we walked past, Chris Whittingham was giving a tour to two potential tenants. On your left, you'll see the border of Little Haiti. Now, no, it's not the sandy beaches of Jacmel, but it'll do.
I mean, you seem to know a lot about movies. Is there anywhere that people could get more of your movie expertise?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Dan. I do a little podcast called Cinephobe. C-I-N-E-P-H-O-B-E. I've learned that many people don't know how to spell it. What's Cinephobe, you ask? It is the podcast where we review movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain whether they are accurately poorly rated or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. This week, we did the motion picture Smokin' Aces, starring Ryan Reynolds, Ray Liotta, Common, Alicia Keys, Taraji P. Henson, and Ben Affleck.
You didn't mention Jeremy Piven. Well, but he starred in it, and it's the choice he made after Entourage that I will never forgive him for. I hate watch that movie every time it's on.
I know that because Valerie told us when we did the Disclosure Addendum episode, which, by the way, is out now on wherever you get podcasts.
Really enjoyed listening to that.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Yeah, but Smokin' Aces. Valerie said you guys will always stop on it if it's on TV, especially if the elevator scene hasn't come on yet. And so at the time, I hadn't seen it yet. I was like, oh, can't wait. And then after watching the movie, I said, approximately 40% of this movie takes place in an elevator. So, Dan, which one was the elevator scene?
Do you guys know what I'm talking about in Smoking Aces?
I remember it being super stylized and slow motion and bright colors and overall disappointing, but not bad to look at, which is just generally what I think of when I think of Jeremy Piven movies, just super stylized. But then when you look back on it after a couple of years, you're like, well, PCU was problematic. And how did I like Entourage?
The elevator scene that I'm speaking of is a slow motion, smoke coming out of the elevator, people gathering in front of the elevator for several minutes for this scene, and then the three crazy guys or the three crazy brothers run out of the elevator, one of them with a chainsaw, but they run like totally choreographed past the cameras in a way that's not menacing at all. They would have been shot upon emerging with a buzzsaw.
If you look at Ryan Reynolds' IMDb, everyone thinks that he was this megastar for several years. He had a legit dip, just like Affleck. Like, they both needed Smoking Aces at that time.
Time now for Amin's Black in My Day.
Time for the segment that reminds Dan and Stugatz how out of touch they are. Here is Amin Al-Hassan with Black in My Day.
We're back, baby. Today's topic, ultra white paint. We're going to do something different today, guys. A spiritual sequel to one of the most beloved Black in My Days ever, Vanta Black. You guys remember that? Vanta Black?
Classic.
Very black.
Yeah, the so-called blackest paint ever, created by scientists in a lab and designed to absorb 99.96% of light. So black that, quote, the spectrometers couldn't even measure it. But wouldn't you know it, much like many other achievements in black excellence, they've come out with a white version. Just like rock and roll, the TV show Living Single, and TikTok dances, the white version isn't quite as effective. According to The Guardian, that bastion of journalism that once declared Billy Gill to be the sixth best NFL analyst in the land, only 98% of light is reflected by the barium sulfate-based compound. When we learned of Vanta Black, we devised a questionnaire to test just how black it was. Sample questions included, was it surprised to find out that Tina Marie is white? And when asked what Beijing is, does it answer a city in China or the stuff LeBron uses to rescue his depleted hairline? You guys remember those questions, right? Well, I decided to consult some of my whitest friends to create a similar questionnaire. Sample questions include, was the song 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton a hit before it was featured in the 2004 motion picture White Chicks? You saying yes, Mike?
Am I playing this game?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, it was. I remember it cracking the TRL top 10.
All right. When's the last...
Which somehow the answer got even more white progressively as I kept talking.
TRL.
When's the last time it dabbed enthusiastically?
I'm afraid I once lost a pair of sunglasses dabbing in the Florida Keys while on a jet ski. It's a very expensive pair.
You are coming up white, Mike.
When confronted with a black person with a brand of the Greek letter Omega on his arm, does it identify it as a horseshoe?
No. But I did remember asking my dad why Jamal Anderson's arm looked like that when I was a little kid.
Has it ever listened to an Ashley Tisdale acoustic cover of Destiny Child's Say My Name and remarked, and these are real quotes from YouTube, I like this cover better than the original. Great style version of this song. And my personal favorite, I thought it was going to be Say My Name from Beetlejuice.
File.
Does it think Adidas's popular streetwear line is pronounced YZY?
Dano.
That would be me.
Is its go-to karaoke song Sweet Caroline or Don't Stop Believing?
Yes.
It's like picking your favorite kid.
When preparing a popcorn salad, would it say that watercress gives it, quote, a peppery kick? Does it know what popcorn salad is? And of course, does it believe that all lives matter?
Oh, God.
I'm Amino Hassan, and this has been Black in My Day.
I really thought you were just setting up a Chris Kamen joke the entire time.
Ultra white paint. How about that?
It's a pleasure to be joined by the king of Cameo.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Well, you are. You're the king of Cameo.
Yes, he made more money on Cameo than anyone in the history of Cameo. People want Brian Bumgardner to give them personalized messages. He's the host of the Oral History of the Office podcast, also the host and co-producer of the Office Deep Dive for iHeartMedia. Do you get into all of the juicy backstory? Is there anything that's off limits? As you give Office fans everything that they want, the Office fans want every morsel of information. Are you giving them like what Steve Carell fought for the 22nd member of the cast? Or are you glossing over some of the secrets that that you cannot talk about? And thank you for joining us, by the way, Brian.
Thank you so much, Dan. No. As always, as in life, I give exactly what everybody wants. That's all I do, Dan. I'll tell you, the idea behind this was really simple, which was my utter confusion at what was going on in the world and with the show. I mean, The Office was the number one scripted comedy on NBC for most of the time that the show was on. But what has happened in the 7 years since we stopped filming the show is just incredible. And that, you know, now we're at like 8 years later, we are sort of undisputed most watched show in all of television, including new shows. And so it really started for me with a question, which is why? Like, how is this happening? And wanting to go back and talk to everybody and try to figure out the answer to that question.
Have you met anyone who hates The Office?
No, it's funny. I mean, Dan mentioned Cameo. Occasionally, I will get a message like wife to husband. My husband is the biggest fan of your show. I don't get it, but my husband loves it. But no, I think if they don't like it, they're probably not coming up to me.
I heard that in a basketball scene that they did on The Office that you were raining down jumpers, which is hard. It's a little hard to imagine visually.
Well, if you haven't seen that, Dan, one, where have you been? And two, yes. The premise behind the episode, or it was actually not even the premise of the episode. It was just that my character, Kevin Malone, the boss could not conceive that he could play basketball. And I sat on the bench the whole game. But John Krasinski and I, as we were shooting, what do little boys do when given a ball, right? You bounce it and you play. So every time they would call cut, John and I would grab a ball and start shooting hoops and making everybody crazy because it is echoey and loud. But eventually they saw that I could shoot the rock. And so in a sport coat, in work shoes, free throw line extended, yeah. 15 feet right around the arc, 13 in a row, unedited.
Just burying people. You're also a scratch golfer too. Like you are an extraordinary athlete. Are you not?
No. Scratch golfer is. I have to say no to that because anyone who's played with me knows that's not true. At some point, Steve Carell, I'm a good golfer, and to Steve, I'm an excellent golfer. But yeah, I'm about a 7.
Wow. I mean, that's showing up. I'm about a 7. Dan, you seem surprised that Brian's such a good athlete. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Dan. What's up, Dan?
It's the hair, Brian. I got to be honest. It's just the hair.
Well, I think that means extra testosterone. At least that's what my mom tells me.
Were you a great athlete who kicked Ed Helms's ass in high school athletically?
I don't know that we ever fully in we I don't know, that was more acting competitions or something. I don't know that Ed and I competed against each other, but yes, we did go to high school. He was one class below me in Atlanta.
But you don't remember anything about him? That's the only factoid there is.
Actually, we were friends, and like his folks and my folks were friends, and I don't think we engaged in athletic competition. Ed was more a singer.
Well, you're also a singer, though, aren't you? Aren't you?
No.
You're not a singer?
I'm not really. No.
There's not a video of you in high school belting out some show tune. You're going to tell me in a talent show you never did this. You're going to say that with a straight face here.
That may be true, but if you watch the video, you'll see very clearly I'm not a singer. You'll see very clearly I'm not a singer.
I could have swore I saw on the blog a couple of years ago you belting out karaoke with Charles Barkley, I think in Lake Tahoe, and absolutely destroying that place.
Well, that I will, I cannot deny that. Yes, karaoke in Lake Tahoe is something that everyone should participate in. And yes, I have done that. But again, that's not real singing.
What are your karaoke go-tos? Like if you get rip-roaring drunk and you really want to be free on stage and no inhibitions, what are you throwing out there?
One, I'm surprised that you went to rip-roaring drunk so quickly, Dan. Two, I don't know. I mean, I may have done some Journey here and there, but I'll tell you, because I don't really sing, I think more what I go for is more of a old standard that I can more talk sing. So it would be something along the lines of like Sweet Caroline or something along those lines.
The hits, right?
Don't, when you really,
yeah, when you're really feeling it, though, it's Journey, Don't Stop Believing, right? I mean,
well, obviously. I mean, if I really feel like I have it.
What can you tell us about your cameo experience? I was surprised to see reported, but you were coy with the quotes I saw from you on how much money you're making on cameo. But it sounds like you're crushing it on cameo.
You know, here's the thing. I was very skeptical of the platform, and they had come to me a few times about getting involved. And I was like, I don't really understand this. And I kept saying no. But what I found, I eventually decided to try it. And what I found was, for me, it is perfect because I can truly mean it. A well wish, a birthday, a whatever, happy bat mitzvah to someone. And the exchange happens for a certain period of time. And then the exchange is over. And what I have found was, people are so happy that it just makes people so happy. And what I realized was, truly, it's not about me. This is how I view it, is that, you know, oftentimes it's with a parent whose kids are away at college, or, you know, a girlfriend and they're long distance or whatever it is, that it's really about the connection between those two people who have a fond memory of watching The Office together. And so what I serve truly is like the vessel between the two of them for sharing a moment or a place in time or whatever that that brings them together and is a happy moment. And I don't mean this in any cheesy way. That's really what I have found it to be. And The Office, you know, just it's a comfort show for a lot of people. It makes people happy and forget about a lot of things that are going on in their life. And that's really how I view myself and how I feel like I have functioned so well on the platform. In addition, by the way, in a more humorous way, I think that in terms of my success on there, I cross all gender and ages. In other words, a guy does not feel intimidated giving me as a gift to his girlfriend. And a girl does not feel weird giving me as a gift to her boyfriend and parent and child. And Kevin is, you know, silly and very popular with young people as well. So 10, 12, 13 years old, I don't know that they should be watching the show, but they are. So I think that, the character and hopefully the energy I put into it too, but it really is about the shared experience between the two people. I'm just there.
And the money doesn't hurt.
Well, yeah.
That was beautifully said. It really was. But how much money are you wasting right now by talking to us for free instead of doing Cameo for these 15 minutes?
You will get a bill. You will get a bill for this.
How did you feel about it being reported that you were Cameo's biggest money maker with $1 million tag being reported so that everyone could know it?
I don't know how much of that information can be confirmed or approved or denied. I knew that I was popular on the platform, and that to me is what should have been said.
Are you aware? That's good. That's borderline controversial what you just did there. That is as sharp and edgy and mean as you can be in public. But you do understand that for the same reasons that a woman can send you to her man and a man can send you to her woman, that is the very same reason that I didn't think you could hit 15 or 13 straight jumpers during practice on
or a scratch golfer.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. But guess what? I did.
That's right.
How many people have done that, Dan?
That's right.
How many people has Steph done that? I don't know. Let's look. Yes. I'm not talking about layups. I'm talking about 15 footers on national freaking television.
That's right.
Who's done it?
That's right. I can see why you would be close friends with Aaron Rodgers. Can you break some news for us here on a sports station? Can you tell us what's going on around Aaron Rodgers? We would love to be the vessel through which America learns what's really going on with Aaron Rodgers through Brian Baumgartner.
I'm sure you would, Dan. No. I mean, come on. I don't know. Who knows? There's a few people who know, but I'm not one of them. I will tell you this. Someone asked me to come on their draft preview show. They asked me well before the draft, wanting to talk about the Packers' 29th pick in this year's draft. And I told them I refused to talk about the 29th pick in this year's draft, since this year's draft is all about what should have been the 30th pick in last year's draft, which ended up as the 26th pick.
How could they not let him go on fourth down? Put us next to you as they're deciding to kick a field goal in that spot.
Well, you know, I wasn't at home. I was sort of in a bubble in a way. I was playing at a weird event, but great, super fun. And I say weird just because it doesn't make any, it's hard for people's brains to compute. It is a celebrity golf tournament matched with the LPGA Tournament of Champions. It's called the Diamond Resort in Florida. And this was in January, obviously. The LPGA players were definitely in a bubble. So I was down there watching it with some people down there. And obviously very close to Tampa. This was in Orlando. And you know, when you're any place, here's some advice. If you're any place watching a game and there are people from both teams who support both teams who are there, if your team decides to do something, make a crucial decision, and everyone who's rooting for the other team gets really, really excited, probably not made the correct decision. You know, obviously not people who know nothing, but there's some advice for you. If you're in an establishment and your team decides to do something, fourth down, fourth and one, go for it, kick it, punt. When the other team is excited, you know you've screwed up.
What do you regard as the most unusual friendship that the office has brought you? Is it someone like Aaron Rodgers? How did you become friends?
It's probably him.
He just loves the office?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I mean, I've told the story before, but it was, you know, I got involved with my joke is, and you made the, now we're talking about cocktails again. You made the joke. I enjoy cocktails. I enjoy charity. But for me, the like charity cocktail party circuit thing was not my thing. That it wasn't good. And for me, golf and like charity golf events were a way for me to, again, really connect with three or four guys that you're playing with on a, you know, pro-am, celeb-am type thing and help raise money for charity. And that was really fun for me. And so I started playing in the, you know, the real kind of the masters of the celebrity tour, the American Century Championships in Lake Tahoe. And I was there and he was there. And I hope I'm not screwing up the year, 2008, summer of 2008. It was the year that, it was literally the time Brett Favre had said he was retiring. Aaron was a replacement and was about to start. He was sitting next to me. I had no idea who he was. No clue. No clue who Aaron Rodgers was. I mean, I knew, oh, there's a quarterback from Cal, Aaron Rodgers, but sitting there, I didn't know who he was. He was a big fan of the show and we struck up a friendship and started playing a lot of golf together. And I would say, yeah, someone like him, I'm a huge sports fan. And so, you know, to have the relationship that I've made with him and so many other guys through golf is really fun. You know, I grew up in Atlanta and, you know, originally grew up rooting for the Braves. I ended up leaving when they started getting good, but, you know, John Smoltz and Tom Glavine and, you know, I was a huge fan of theirs. And now, you know, to call Tom Glavine a really good friend, we play a lot of golf together. You know, I mean, for me, it's strange, but also just incredible.
You beat Rodgers at golf?
You know, not often. He's better than I am. But when I get my strokes, I'm competitive, and money's gone both ways.
You don't beat Glavine, do you?
Glavine's good as well.
Yeah, Glavine's good.
No, he's been taking me actually very hard recently.
Do you end up with Glavine and Smoltz? Do you end up with both of them?
I played with both of them. Smoltz is really good. Yeah, I mean Smoltz is a scratch.
Big money games?
Occasionally money exchange hands, yeah.
When are we playing? Just out of curiosity.
What are you doing? He doesn't know you.
I'm trying to get a golf date with Brian. I think Brian would love to play golf with me, and I'd love to play golf with him. How about that?
Why would I not play golf with him?
Yeah,
what's wrong with why would I not? Does he cheat?
Because he's not on your level.
Well. Two strokes a hole, okay? And yes, I do cheat, to answer your question.
Two strokes a hole? Yes. That's a lot of strokes.
All right, one stroke a hole. One stroke a hole, including the par threes, okay?
I'll have you scouted.
What is the question that you get most often on The Office?
Well, I mean, the subject that is brought up the most to me involves chili at this point in time. Yeah. I mean, that has become the thing.
Are you tired of it? You sound a little weary with that.
No, it all depends on the you know, context. I mean, what I find silly is, and I'm not great at the social media stuff, but I do try to post. And, you know, when I post a picture of, I don't know, I mean, I've never done this, but like, you know, me frolicking in wildflowers or whatever, like out in a field or whatever, and someone inevitably will say, "You should have been home making chili." I'm like, no, that has nothing to do with that. That's not.
No.
And if it's me at a restaurant or there's food involved anywhere, then there's like 175 comments about why aren't I eating chili or something like that. So that's bad. But I will tell, this is a funny, why do we keep talking about drinks? I don't know. But this was pre-pandemic. I was on the road. I was, I don't know, doing some business thing. I was at a hotel by myself and I went in and was like sitting in the corner of the bar and I had my hat on. I was sitting in the, and I'd ordered some food and I'd eaten the food and the bartender comes by and like sets food down in front of me. And I don't even really look at it. And I go, that's not for me. Cause I had just eaten. And the bartender, it was like a, you know, an old, I don't know, 50s movie or something, was like, "That's from the girl at the end of the bar." And I looked down, and it was a bowl of chili. Like she had, instead of a drink, she had sent a bowl of chili. And that I found very funny. Like that, I was like, "That's okay. That's a good one. That's fine."
And you've been married how many years since?
Hey-o.
The oral history of The Office, when you are the host, do you do much learning during that? Things you did not know?
Yeah, so what happened was we decided to tell the story of what happened. Like truly, honestly, like what transpired, what decisions were made early on that made the show still watchable now, not only surviving, but like thriving all of these years later. And I was like, let's go back and talk to our old friends. And so, you know, I sat down with Steve Carell for 3.5 hours. I talked to Greg Daniels, who produced the show, a bunch of the other cast and writers and directors, and really just to talk about it. And people were so engaged and so interested to talk about that, the period of time, and in just like really kind of wanting to learn alongside with me. And so we had decided to do an oral history of The Office, which is 12 episodes, which is just the story, kind of like from the beginning to now, and like, how did we get here? But in the span of doing these 12 episodes, I had accumulated well over 100 hours of interviews with folks. And I immediately, the very first interview I did was with Rainn Wilson, who plays Dwight. I sat down with him for over 2 hours. And I'm like, not a math major, but I'm doing the math. And I'm like, okay, I just talked to him for over 2 hours. Maybe we're going to hear from him for a total of 20 minutes, because it was all cut up as we were telling the story. And so I was like, we have to release these separately. And so that's really what we're doing now. Really, The Office Deep Dive is what we're calling it. But it's really a extended or a elongated, well, it's our conversations together talking about the show. And yeah, I learned so much. I mean, so much. When we originally decided to do it, there was a lot of conversation. Like, I'm not a journalist. Like, you guys are journalists. I'm not a journalist. But do we get like someone from the New York Times or Rolling Stone, like a journalist, to sit down and really talk to people and me be more of a producer? And what we decided was, well, better or worse, I have this shared experience with these people. And I think that when we have these conversations, we're going to learn a lot more about what really went on if it's guided by me. And that was really how the decision started. And it was tremendously fun. And I'm so excited now that people are starting to hear these interviews.
When you started on The Office, you expected it to be what?
I really had no expectation about that, because I was, I mean, look, I started the show, I look older than I am, right? But I started the show, I was 31 years old. Like I was fairly young, and my work had happened in theater, right? So everybody's journey is different, but I had moved to Los Angeles just a couple of months before landing The Office. So I was kind of too dumb to do that, but I knew in the second episode we did, which is called Diversity Day, that what we were doing on the show was not being done in television and was really, really freaking cool. And really, if people gave it a chance, you know, there was no laugh track, which at the time that didn't exist. The camera moved around, that didn't exist. There were all of these things in network television that did not exist at that time. And I knew we may have trouble, but I was like, man, if people give this thing a chance, it has the possibility to be really special.
Who among the cast, if you have to pick one, you're forced to pick one, is the most gifted, naturally funny person?
It's Oscar. I guess I just recorded this introduction. Oscar Nunez makes me laugh harder than anyone else on the planet. Oscar Nunez makes me laugh hard just because he doesn't have one style. He has like 15 and somehow seamlessly goes into one. I'll give you like a really quick story. We are we're doing a Habitat for Humanity. This is kind of a long story. I know this is not great for radio, but we're doing a Habitat for Humanity thing on the Today Show. This is at the height of the show. And we're doing a Habitat for Humanity. We're building houses as a set. And like Al Roker is there and they're cutting to the cast of The Office, building houses. And Al Roker comes and, you know, it's supposed to be good morning, you know, not good morning, America, but hi, everybody. We're here, you know, upbeat morning show, excitement. And Oscar Nunez goes into this rant at the time about George Bush and that the reason we're here, he's playing a bit, but he's like, the reason we're building houses is because George Bush doesn't support, you know, homeless people. And he does his whole thing. It's like the most inappropriate thing that we can do. Cut to like 10 years later and we're there. And this is like the height of like Trump controversy, right? And we're in Canada and I say, we're doing an appearance and they're going live on like the Canadian equivalent of CNN or something, like the cast of The Office, Brian Baumgartner and Oscar Nunez are here. And I turn to Oscar and I'm like, Oscar, we're going live. Just don't, I don't want you to say the word Trump. I don't want you to do anything. We're not doing that today. He's like, okay. Hi, we're here live. We go live. And Oscar just turns to me and goes, what am I not supposed to talk about again? on camera. Hold on. What? You don't want me to talk about the Trump thing? Why don't you want me to talk about? And the entire interview becomes him asking me what he's not supposed to talk about and what he's not supposed to say about it. I love that. And I finish it. I'm like, you are such an idiot. But he makes me laugh so hard. But I will, I have to say too, I do believe this, that Steve Carell is the greatest improviser maybe in the history of comedy. I truly believe, and what I mean is, you know, the Family Guy, funny show, a ton of their jokes are, well, that reminds me of the time, and they cut to something that's really funny, but totally off topic. Right. And so like in the improv world, you can't do that. You have to stay like on story. You have to stay on character. That's why Steve is such a genius. He takes this character of Michael Scott and he starts talking about Michael, you know, or he starts playing this character and anything he improvises is 100% in line with what that character is and who he is. I think he's a genius.
Brian, we enjoyed our time with you. Thank you. We're sorry that we cost you however many hundreds of thousands of dollars on Cameo that we have cost you. But thank you for spending this time with us. We appreciate it.
Dan, thank you so much. You'll get a bill shortly.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.